Thank you for singing that. I know for some it was a challenge, but we are Unitarian Universalists, and we draw upon many sources. And I know for at least a few of us, that song is most important and meaningful. I know that in Unitarian Universalist land, UU land for short, there are some words that set off the panic button. They make us cringe. They make us remember duck and cover. They cause sudden hearing loss. They actually cause us to experience acute acid reflux. And sometimes they cause our eyes to cross as we're trying to read ahead. And you might think that these words are, I don't know, political. And that would be huge. But no. I'm speaking of some of the most basic words in humanity's religious dictionary. I affectionately refer to these as hot potato words. You might imagine some of what those words might be. We might have even sung a few for you. But keep them to yourself for just a moment. Right now, I want you to play a game with me, or at least pretend to play this game. Imagine you're all in a circle, and someone tosses in, it's actually a red ball, but a hot potato. It comes to you, you catch it, and you have to say one of those hot potato words, and then you toss it to someone else across the room. They have to say a hot potato word before they can toss it. And in my experience, no matter how large the circle is and how good your throw is, when you're trying to come up with hot potato words, the first few are really easy. But then it gets more difficult as you stretch your imagination and you try to think, well, try this one or that one or the other one, and the game goes crazy and everybody just ends up laughing at the silliness of it all. Can you imagine doing something like that? How about if I tossed a ball out here? I think we're doing that with some of our hot potato words this morning. Now, I never pretend to know all of the religious words, or even the ones that might cause you trouble. Your list could be long or short. I don't know. But I have my own list. And here's my hope. For every word that causes you to cringe and makes you want to just toss it across the room, I offer this challenge. Put on some oven mitts and hold that word for a bit. Roll it around and see what it looks like. What variety is it? Could it be a baking type? A russet or a red? Is it sweet? Maybe it's a new hybrid or an heirloom that's been around for millennia. I invite you to treat words like that potato, a living thing that if allowed to rot can shrivel up and vanish like we wish some words would do. Or if nurtured, it could be a sprout of new growth and understanding. I believe all religious words have the opportunity to be used and understood, not only in their traditional ways, but also in new ways that work for us today. And back to potatoes. My grandmother's potato salad, well, it always had a generous portion of mayonnaise. And I am not a mayo fan. So I had to figure out something new to do with potatoes. Sometimes we have to do that with words as well. Each month, First UU centers services and other programs around a common theme. Sometimes these themes are easy to incorporate. They spark the imagination, and they're easy to plan music and readings and sermons around. But other times, I just want to throw them back into the void. This month was one of those. The theme for November is faith. What do you do with faith? Now, we had plenty to do this month. On the heels of Remembrance Sunday, there was this little installation service. And then there was Thanksgiving, complete with stone soup. Wasn't that great? But now, on this last Sunday of the month, the theme is still waiting. The potato has been tossed to me, and it is mine to hold for today. As I look at the word faith, I offer you my reflection. There's a book out there that I refer to often. It's by Kathleen Norris. It's called Amazing Grace. Has anybody ever read anything from Kathleen Norris? She's quite the writer. But she begins her chapter on faith with an etymology. Faith, from fidere, to trust, to confide in. I know many people have a faith in God. Others do not. When we hold the God word, and I refer to the God word as a concept, we have to understand it in a way of personal meaning. For our purposes this morning, though, we can use the heirloom religious notation of God of our ancestors, defined conveniently by Merriam-Webster, as the being perfect in power, wisdom, and goodness who is worshipped as creator and ruler of the universe. Or we can go with Webster's modern definition, a powerful ruler, also known as Hollywood gods, that control our movies' fates. It's in there. Now, I'm not sure that I have a faith in God that rules the universe. There's too much evil in the world for that. But I'm sure I don't have a faith in the Hollywood gods. Even if they do control the edit room, I have a remote that can be clicked and tossed faster than a hot potato. And too often, all too often, the word faith carries with it an air of certainty, absolute, perfection, ultimate, omnipresent, omnificent. And if I could only believe that there was an entity, even one in heaven, that was all of that, I could toss away my worries. But again, I see too much brokenness for that. In the Christian scriptures, we read in the book of John and in the letters from Paul to the Romans that we are saved by grace and justified by faith, which is counted as righteousness. But the Bible, both the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures, is filled with contradictions. We read in the book of James a bedrock verse that many Unitarian Universalists have understood for centuries, that faith without works is dead. I love the writings of James. He also wrote this verse, "The body without spirit is dead." So, if God is not certain for many people today, or even if God is very real for you, I wonder, where does the word faith come into our vocabulary? Have we thought about it? Or have we just tossed faith aside without examination beyond our initial assumptions? In Amazing Grace, Norris refers to Doris Betts' assertion that faith is not synonymous with certainty, but is a decision to keep your eyes open. Not about certainty, but keeping your eyes open. You might say you want to keep your eyes open for hot potatoes, but also for something deeper than the obvious. A shallow version of faith might be that I want my team to win. Kind of like OH. Yep. A predictable version of faith would be my cat Gracie expected me to be home to feed her dinner. And a more nuanced faith is one that knows something is true, but at the same time holds out that faith is not certainty. An example is a covenant like the one we made together a few weeks ago at the installation service. We said words back and forth with each other, promising to uphold the highest of expectations and respect for one another. As much as all of us will try to do our very best to uphold this covenant, you and I both know that we are not perfect. We will have breaches and missteps. Rumi's words that we often sing at the beginning of service, "Come, come, whoever you are," also include a line omitted from our hymnal. "Although you've broken your vows 1,000 times, come, yet again come." We have to be vigilant to keep our eyes open. While it is important to watch each other's behavior, it is most important for us to be true to our words and the covenants we have made. It will hold us in good times and bad, in sorrow and in joy. And together we will learn and grow, and together we will trust. I have faith in our covenant. I also have faith in humanity. My faith resides in the collective sense, once again knowing that as individuals, we fail sometimes. And actually, there are times that even in a global sense, we fail as well. There are wars, Holocaust, genocides, mass shootings. These seem to happen even when you have a faith in God. Even with divine guidance, appeal, or intervention, humanity can't seem to escape itself. But somehow, the better angels of our nature seem to upright the issue. Give some credit to God or gods. There are plenty of sacred texts around the world with stories of praise. Some of these stories have been collected and codified into religions, while others are interpretive strands. All are worthy in consideration in our paths to wisdom. For me, even though I readily acknowledge that there is something greater than self, I look out the window and I know I did not create that. I look at my body and know, too, that I did not create it. There is so much beyond me that I often just give a prayer of thanksgiving. When I am beneficiary to something beyond my control, or even when I want to call upon a larger sense of peace, I often use the word grace. This awareness and practice is not the same thing as faith, even though my statements are laced with even more religious words. Humans have long assigned religious terminology to describe matters unknown or things ungraspable. For me, none of these constitute a valid argument for faith, at least not in the ultimate power sense. There's often a gap between the known and the unknown that closes and expands as we discover and learn. I understand discovery to be our becoming aware of what already is. I have faith that this process will continue as it has over the course of human history. I also know it would be easy to have no faith. Just toss out that word with all the others that seem too hot or complicated to consider. I could become an atheist or even an agnostic, and those terms might be accurate, except I have faith. That doesn't mean I don't want to cross it across the room or throw it out the window. I get angry at humanity, and yes, even humans. I even scapegoat and yell at God sometimes when I can't bear the responsibility. Why can't we be perfect? Why can't I be perfect? Using my understanding of perfection, of course. Wouldn't that be great? Such power, such ultimate power. But oops, oh dear. Perfection is an empty ghost of a God. Great for sermon fodder, but not so great for practical or survivable theology. Faith can also leave us. It does me sometimes. At times I feel helpless. My faith waxes and wanes. I want to give up sometimes. And there's a word for these dry spells, acedia. Yes, it's a religious word. Although the interpretation of faith that says it's all about certainty, this doubt or absence of faith is not included in or accounted for in their religious narratives. But acedia is real and even common. These times of drought are spiritual apathy or boredom. I know. I've been there. Faith is tested in so many ways. Loss of a job, a death, a bad experience. Religious texts are filled with stories of acedia. Just read in the Hebrew text of the Desert Fathers as they wandered in the sand. Goodness, Moses wandered for 40 years. Just read their stories about wandering through the desert. Or for a more contemporary text, I refer you once again to Kathleen Norris, who wrote an entire book on the topic of acedia. But when acedia strikes, there's often a knock on our spiritual door. A situation arises that beckons our attention. It could be the fresh air of a gift, or it could be a cry to pay attention. The world seems tireless in its efforts to keep us awake, to keep our eyes open. It would be very easy to toss the potato to God and just say, "You handle it." But giving away of power does not mean you don't have responsibility. To have faith in humanity is work. James from the Christian scriptures knew it. Other religions know it too. A dear friend of mine once told me a story from his tradition. In the Quran, there's a tale of a man whose journey took him through the desert for a few days. On the first night when night fell, he stopped, put his bags down, watered the camel, and went to sleep. In the morning, the camel was nowhere to be seen. He prayed to Allah, "Why did you let my camel escape?" The answer came back, "Next time, tie him down." Now, this story is akin to the desire to win the lottery. But word has it, you must buy a ticket. Faith without works is dead. I'm sure you have stories too, and this morning I have shared with you my story of faith. I have done it from my point of view, because that's the only way I know how to do it without getting incredibly academic. I have shared with you my version of faith. I also know that Unitarian Universalists have no creeds or dogma. We also don't have a theological dictionary filled with absolutes and certainties. Instead, we have a lot of words that we bring our own experience toward understanding. I have faith in humanity. My faith shows up in my works. And like James, I also have an animating spirit in my body. I have the faith that we can one day create a beloved community. I have faith that we have agency in taking steps toward that vision. I have faith that when we fall short, we will forgive and start over. I have faith that my work, our work, is like a seed that will not necessarily bear fruit in this lifetime. I have faith that someday a beloved community of our children will know peace. And regardless of how far you can toss those words that are too hot to handle, I believe in us. I have faith in this community, in this congregation, that we can be a church that matters, not only inside these walls, but also in the world beyond. We will not be perfect. That would be to call ourselves God. That is not a certain thing. What I do know is we are passionate about life. And to me, that is faith. A faith with eyes wide open. And I ask you, are you ready for the potato? Blessed be. Amen.